Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Fitz Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, One Man Army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Around the world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is Wednesday, June 17th, 2020, and we are excited to be here with you. We have a great guest here, a great show. As always, we'll be talking to Mr. Sean Salmon, legendary wrestler, legendary fighter as far as I'm concerned. He previously joined the show a couple times, and we're excited to have him back on the show. His name has come up in a bunch of conversations that we've had, and a lot of people want to know, you know, what's going on with him. So he was gracious enough to join us come back on the show. I'm trying to connect with him now. So, Sean, if you're listening, please call 347-326-9749. I can't pick up Skype calls. I could call out, but just let us know if you're having problems connecting into the phone line. You shouldn't have any problems. I think everything's okay, but just keep me posted. So we have Sean Salmon calling in any second now, folks. Should be very, very exciting to talk to him. You know, he's had a long, long history, very, very interesting personal life, and he's fought some big fighters, and we certainly want to talk to him about all of that. I mean, you know, probably his most notable fight was in the UFC versus Rashad Evans. We'll talk about that and more. And then if we have a little time later, we'll talk about some of the more recent UFC events. The UFC has been so, so good as far as putting out events when they can almost every week. And I saw the last UFC, I think it was UFC 10 on Fox, or on ESPN Plus 2 with Carl Robeson, who actually trains very close to me, actually works out at the gym, one of the gyms that I work out at, versus Marvin Vettori, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But without further ado, let's go to Sean Salmon, who's on the line now with us here on Carson's Corner. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling, man. It's great to have you back on the show.
No, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having
me. We appreciate it. I'm a big fan of yours and for a long time. And you know, we've had a couple conversations with some people in the MMA community where your name has come up in the context of what you're doing now. So I thought we would check in with you in the form of an interview, because I'm sure the listeners definitely want to know as well what's going on, because I always felt like you were one of the most interesting guests in many ways, with your very candid responses, but also something of an enigma. I mean, that's probably why we came up with so many questions here for this interview tonight, and I had to write them down. So if you're fixed for time, if I just inundate you with questions, please come back on the show, and I'll make it a two-parter interview, if that sounds good.
Let's go.
Beautiful. Thank you. We appreciate
glad
it.
I'm you said that. So let's go.
Absolutely. Let us know. Thank you, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. You know, having a veteran on like yourself, we tend to start by revisiting early career moments and giving the fans like sort of a retrospective view of your career, because I know a lot of times with podcasts and whatnot, they just want to focus on, you know, what the UFC's got and in the now, so on and so forth. But in your case, it's a little different, because a lot of our listeners will be familiar with some of your struggles outside the cage. Many of them will have read the very detailed and somewhat harrowing article by Sean El-Saadi, wrote about you on the MMA Fighting website. Folks, if you want a great deal about the challenges Sean Salmon has faced, do yourself a favor and check out that article. It's Where Are They Now, Sean Salmon article from 2014. And I have to admit that I was honestly shocked by some of the things I read in that article. We had spoken before a few times, and I know you had some problems with the psychological aspect of some of your fights, but I had no idea just what kind of demons you were battling at the time. Is that something we could talk about? I mean, maybe we could help anyone who might be going along that same path. I mean, I could certainly resonate with some of the struggles mentioned in this article and some of the stuff that you've gone through. I mean, was alcohol something that was present in your life from a fairly young age? I mean, what was your initial relationship with drinking like?
Wow. Getting right into it. Drinking, I for sure effed up my life with drinking. I'm not going to blame it on anybody, and I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, we heard stories about
it's all on me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, sort of like, a lot of people experience this type of stuff with college and whatnot, I heard stories about the Mark Coleman and whatnot. I mean, was this sort of like a college experience for you,
No, not at all. I did not have my first drink of alcohol until I was 24 years old. I was already in college. I was the sober kid at every party, and I don't know why you bring up Mark Coleman. He has nothing to do with it.
No, not at all. But a lot of MMA fighters have had problems with alcohol. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, MMA fighters, I think in general, are people that go through a lot of things, and sometimes they have problems I just started training grappling myself not too long ago, and I could tell you that everybody that I train with has problems outside the grappling mats, and they get through their problems by grappling and wrestling and so on and so forth. So I actually think this is pretty common with fighters and whatnot,
I would agree with you to an extent there, but no, I don't think one has to do with the other. I had my issues, I have my issues, and I'm dealing with them, but it doesn't have anything to do with fighting. If you want to draw a correlation, there is something to be said for fighters wanting to do their own thing and find things that way, but...
Yeah. I think I understand. I guess I have somewhat of a bias in the sense that since I recently started training, and I fought years ago too, but nothing nearly to the extent that you have or anybody else. And I just now that I'm sort of seeing a common theme, at least with a lot of the guys that I train with, because a lot of the guys I train with, they had a lot of problems with alcohol and other substance abuse. They deal with personal tragedy in their life and whatnot. And, I don't know what percentage of MMA fighters have had issues like this, but, it seems definitely some of them and whatnot.
I don't think you can correlate personal tragedy with substance abuse. I'm not sure where you're going with this, but it doesn't feel right to me.
Well, like I said, I may be a little self biased there. I mean, it just seems like anecdotally, a lot of the people that I know are have dealt with similar issues as a result of some sort of tragedy or hardship in their life, and they get through it. They get through it by training, myself included. I mean, I would definitely put myself in that category as well. I mean, I've never had any substance abuse issues, but I've had certainly a lot of other issues like psychological issues and anxiety and so on and so forth. And certainly, you know, grappling and jiu-jitsu and striking has certainly helped me with that. But, I agree. There is no way to really correlate that. There's no way to determine, you know, exactly, you know, how many fighters and whatnot, you know, have had problems like this or so on and so forth. But you also survived a terrible car crash of the sort most people would probably not have walked away from. Is that something that mm-hmm. still you revisit mentally at this point?
No, not at all.
Can you describe what happened there?
I drank a lot and I got in the car and I was completely wrong. Should have never did it. And it happened.
And you were ejected from the vehicle, right?
Yeah. And it sucked. And I've dealt with it. Man, there's nothing easy about that. And there's nothing I can say to make it right in my own head. Or thank God I didn't harm anybody else.
Yeah.
But, I didn't see this conversation going this way. And now I'm getting emotional
I'm sorry, man. I'm not trying to dredge up anything as far as, you know, I really. Doug?
We can keep going. I'm good with this. And
I appreciate it, man. I really do, because I really find this fascinating, and I on the surface of things, I resonate. It resonates with me. It really does.
Okay,
you know,
all right, let me talk freely then. Okay.
Yeah.
So and I think all these emotions combined, when I didn't know how to become a fighter, I don't know why I became a fighter. It just happened. No. Because to me, you're supposed to be scared. I'm supposed to be scared all the time. And Chael Sonnen said it best. the music hits the speakers and you just walk, and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done. That's the way I've lived my life. And for better or worse, yeah, when I drank and drive, that was for worse. That was on me. I did that.
Yep.
I have to take responsibility for that, and I went to court, and it sucked. There's nothing good about it.
Well, do you survive? Most people, I don't think would survive that sort of an accident. I believe you did have to go to jail, and went on as a result of that. But do you consider yourself lucky?
Yeah, I do. I consider myself lucky in my whole life. And I say this all the time to myself, that if there comes a day when I pass, just be honest. If you're speaking at my funeral, just be honest.
Right.
I didn't do everything right. I made mistakes. Just be honest and say, holy shit, this kid, he shouldn't have lived as long as he lived. And yeah, that part sucks.
What about, too, when you did go to jail? Because that to me is a nightmare scenario for a lot of people. I mean, how did you spend that time being locked up? I mean, how did you prepare for something like that mentally? Or did you just kind of just go through it as it happened?
Okay, that part was easy. And I think that's a lot of what our society is dealing with right now. I knew how to handle myself.
Right.
Nobody was going to mess with me. I have a look. Fortunate for me, I'm 5'8", 220 pounds, messed up ears, and muscles and tattoos. But that part was easy.
That's good. Were you in general population, or?
Yeah, I'm not special. I'm not Chuck Liddell. I'm not Randy Couture. I'm a nobody, which is why.
But from my understanding, you were respected though while you were in there. Like you said, I mean, you have a look, but people inside respected your fighting skills, and you actually played a peacemaker role.
Yeah, only because I looked the part. Like I just said, I have messed up ears, tattoos, and muscles. I was nobody special. I looked the part.
Yeah, I think that's admirable. You know, what was your day like, though?
Okay, and God, I was a dick. I said I didn't want, and thank God for my fiance. I love Heather to death. I had to call her every single day and speak with her, and that was, and if somebody got in the way of me being able to talk to her, I would just say no. It's not happening that way.
Are you still in that same relationship?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was what got you through it. I mean, your support, you know, from your fiance, your family, whatnot, after 2014, I believe, since then, since 2014, at the time of the article, you were dating I guess the person that you're with now, you are in the same relationship.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, so I wanted to kind of fast forward now. Now we could talk about, like, you know, some of your career. And I thank you for being candid and sharing your thoughts and experiences on you know, difficult subject matter. I really, really appreciate that. In 2018, you were actually apparently scheduled to fight our fellow guest and friend, Jonathan Ivey. And I was kind of shocked to read that. But is there any truth to that? Did we almost see a Sean Salmon comeback?
Yeah, and and if Jonathan is listening, I still want to fight him. I got terribly sick. I don't back out of fights, and
right.
I feel bad. I could apologize to Mark Slater, the promoter. I'm sorry, Mark. I want to fight, but now. Well, I'm going to get a little bit emotional because I fucking hate this kid, Luke Shawley. And I hate saying his name because he doesn't even deserve me saying his name. But he called me out, and we work out at the same gym.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I come back right now, it's going to... I'll fucking kill that kid. I don't like him. He should
have called me out. Now.
It's not how it works. You know what? And I come from an old school dad, an old school grandpa. You do things the right way.
Right.
He did not do things the right way. So fuck him. And I don't like
well, what did he do? Did he?
I was offered a fight with him. We work out at the same gym.
Right.
I was offered a fight with him, and I said no. I said I work out with this kid. If I want to fight him, I can fight him for free. And that was that. And then he started messaging me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Just come to my face. You see me all the time.
Right.
Just walk up and say, "Hey, Sean, I think we should fight." And then he kept messaging me and fuck him.
Why do you think he wants to fight you so bad? Is it just because, you know, you're a UFC veteran, or is this a personal thing?
Because he's an idiot. He's a dumb box of rocks, and he doesn't know how to make this game work for him. And he thinks he can make money off my name. And I have, 19 losses in a row? 18? He could find anybody in the world better than me to make a name off of. But he wants to make it off of me? My buddy, fuck you. I want to fight him. I don't like him. I want to fight him.
Yeah. Has there been any promoters or anything like that has been interested in this, or how would you go about setting this up?
I messaged him on Facebook, and I said, "I'm not signing up a fight for you when we can't even do it.
We're
in the middle of a pandemic. We can't make this happen." And I just said, "Shut up. The day it can happen, I'll sign up. I'll put my name on the line, and I'm going to make it 25 fucking minutes. Because fuck you. You're going 25 minutes with me. And I'll kill you in the last 24.
Now, back, you said you would fight Ivy if you could.
Yeah, and that one I feel bad about. I don't have any ill will towards Jonathan Ivy. I respect him. I think he's a good fighter. and Mark Slater tried to put this fight together. And, yeah, I want to do that. I got sick. I had to back out. And this is how I always fight, out of respect.
Right.
That's how it's done, Matt Hughes style, GSP style. I'm good at this, you're good at that, let's fight. Let's figure out who's better. Yeah, Jonathan Ivey, I respect him. I think he's a good fighter. I think I can beat him. And let's go.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I think a lot of people would love to see that fight because nobody would have, or at least I don't think we'd have any idea what to expect because, you know, Ivy is a larger, he's a big leg lock guy. He's a Muay Thai fighter. He's got over 50 fights, some 60, 70 fights. And you have a lot of experience,
yeah,
too.
He's huge and he's nasty. He's going to roll on his back and try and catch me with some shit. And I'll do my best to punch him in the face as hard as I can, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. What type of shape are you in these days? It sounds like you're still training, and you must be in very good shape still.
Yeah, I'm 59 days in a row of working out, and I have a goal of 365 days in a row of working out, but right now I'm at 59. I can send you a picture.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm like that too. Not I work out, but not like you said. With everything shut down, my grappling gym is going to be opening up hopefully next month or so. Are you able to do anything, you know, as far as grappling and striking down where you are, or are you guys really still? Is everything still shut down down there?
No, and I'm not looking, and I'm not seeking it out. In my basement.
Okay.
Running 3 miles a day. But, yeah, like I said, I'll send you pictures. I'm pretty fit. And there's something to be said for muscle memory.
Right, right.
If you get in a fight with me, I promise I'll win.
Do you think that there's a perception about your career that you took a lot of damage in your career?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the perception part. I don't care about that. That's for me to figure out. But, yeah, I know I took a lot of damage. And, yeah, that part sucks. I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
And I am dealing with it. But at the end of the day, I didn't. This is going to suck to say, but in most of the damage I took was just me tapping out when I got hit hard. That part sucks. And I have to deal with that every day. Because I quit. 9 times out of 10, I just quit.
Now, is that because you don't want to take, why is that? And are you frustrated over that?
Yeah, I'm frustrated over that, but it was more because personal problems.
Right.
I was going through a horrible divorce, and I drank too much. And, yeah, I quit when it was easy. And that's not easy for me to admit. And I have to live with that.
Yeah. What about, I mean...
I can, Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say I can admit that. I did that. I quit. Go ahead.
Is that some of the reason why you want to fight again? Why you want to get back in there to sort of like almost redeem yourself and say, you know what, I'm dealing with these problems, I'm putting them behind me, and I want to go out there and just give it my all, like, you know, like maybe you did it at one point in your career and whatnot.
No, I post this on my Facebook page all the time. For a fighter, you don't know what else to do. You just fight. F the money. Nobody cares about the money.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of it. I mean, it's that I love to be afraid. I love to get scared. I love when the Chael Sonnen says it all the time. And I'm not a big Chael Sonnen fan, but he speaks well, and I agree with him most of the time. There's something about being afraid. When the music hits the speaker, and you have to walk. You have no choice.
Right.
For me, it was my brother, Danny Salmon, and I'm going to say his name every time I get a chance. Danny Salmon, I love my brother. He was always standing right behind me. Every time the music hit the speaker and we had to walk, and he was every bit as afraid of a fist fight as I was.
Right.
It is so much fun getting into a fist fight. You know, if you're in your schoolyard and someone says, "All right, Sean, right when the bell rings," you get scared. You're like, "Holy shit. He wants to fight me right when the bell rings." And you're looking, you're scared of the bell ringing all day. But when somebody says on July 18th at 9 p.m., we're going to walk to a cage.
Right.
Tell me, House. That's the best feeling ever. You're just scared. And you should be scared.
But isn't it, I know exactly what you're saying, what you're talking, 100%. And my thing is, when you're doing it, when you're actually fighting, you're in the moment. So, I did a bunch of grappling events before this whole pandemic thing, you know? And, you know, grappling to me is more grueling than MMA for some reason, because I'm not a natural grappler at all. I don't have any wrestling experience, but I noticed, like, when the bell rang, when the referee said go, I'm not scared anymore. It's like basically instinct. You know, it's basically you're doing what you're doing. Do you find that to be the case with you as well? Like, once you're actually fighting, you're no longer scared anymore. You're just kind of doing what you're programmed to do, what you've trained to do.
Okay. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. That's why I like wrestling more. Wrestling to me was your brain just shuts off.
Right.
You're in a corner before the match, bouncing up and down. Fighting, you're, like I said, you signed up for it. You have no choice. There's no out. There's nobody coming to save you. It was that moment of, holy shit, I might not walk home tonight. I might not, and this is going to sound dumb because I'm a big Tito Ortiz fan, but he loves saying, I might not survive tonight. You're going to survive.
Right.
It might suck, but you're going to survive. And, yeah, there's that moment of I might not survive. Yeah, but wrestling was always, I love wrestling.
Yeah, well, you know,
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. You've spent some time away from the cage and whatnot, and you know, years of wrestling and fighting and whatnot, and you said you love wrestling. Obviously, your background would sort of indicate that. How banged up were you, or are you, or have you healed up since your fighting days and wrestling days at all?
I like to think I'm healthier than I really am. No, it sucks. I wake up in pain every day. I take 4 ibuprofen every day, and I think I need more. And the back surgery, I have back surgery, knee surgery. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's at the end of the day, it's worth it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I enjoyed what I did. I wish I would have done it better. I wish I would have closed out my career better than I did. But, you know, I got to go to Russia, I got to go to Finland,
mm-hmm.
Turkey, Jordan, and I got paid for it. It was fun.
You know, I mentioned earlier you did give up a lot during the fights, and it looks like at least half your losses were by guillotine or submission, very often guillotine, on the first round and even the first minute. Which had to have been frustrating for you. I can't imagine what it's like to have to face that hurdle over and over again. Was there any particular reason why you got caught often with guillotines, seemingly?
No. No. The honest answer is I just gave up. I have no explanation for that. If you tell me that's how I've lost most of my fights, I'm gonna agree with you, and that's mm-hmm. probably because I got punched in the face really hard and I just gave up. And this is something I'm gonna have to deal with the rest of my life, that I quit. It's an easy answer. I got punched hard and I quit.
Yeah.
That's that.
I know exactly what that's like. And it does eat up.
You don't know exactly what it's like. It sucks.
No, I have. Sean, I did, man. I didn't compete nearly at the levels you do. You did. But when I fought, I got hit. I wasn't knocked out, and I gave up afterwards. And it eats me every single day. It eats me up every single day because I know I could have went forward. And that's why I want to eventually do it again, because I want to get knocked the fuck out or not get knocked out, go through the pain, and let the result be whatever it is. I don't want to quit. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay. And that's really cool. I hate that we're on the same page with that. But I don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
As of right now, I want to fucking fight Luke Shawley, because fuck him. He never called me out, and he's gonna find out the wrong way. You should have called me out, it sucks. I'm sorry you feel the same way I do. But we'll both get through it.
Yeah, and you said you don't want to go through that again. Where you, I guess, you know, you don't want to get hit really freaking hard and whatnot. But then let me ask you, why even go back to fighting again? Because, you know, if you do, eventually that's going to happen again. You know.
No, it's not, because this time I want to win, and I've never fought out of anger, and this fucking kid, I'm fighting out of anger, and I'm going to win, and it's going to suck for him.
We had Shannon the Cannon Rich on. He's actually a friend of the program and whatnot, and in one of my interviews, he talked about how that you can submit early in a fight for reasons other than deliberately losing. At the time, people thought Shannon was throwing a lot of fights, but he explained to me that on the show that he needs to make as much money as possible through fighting on the regional scene, meant that taking damage or getting hurt could jeopardize his future paychecks. It was a pretty interesting point that he made there, you know. I wanted to kind of get your response to that when you hear someone like Shannon or Cannon Rich, you know, saying that about fighting and whatnot and losing early in fights.
Okay, I never lost early for a paycheck. It sucks to say I quit. I'm not sure where you're going with that, what you're looking for from me.
Yeah, I mean, was there any thought on your end as far as, like, not wanting to get hurt and trying to preserve himself, preserve yourself, which is why you quit? Or what was the reason, do you think?
No, there was never any. The bottom line is, I just didn't want to be there. And if you sign up for a fist fight, that's what you get, is a fist fight. And at the end of the day, it sucks. And the only thing I wanted to do was not be in a fist fight. Every time I quit, that's exactly what I did. I quit. And it sucks. I'm embarrassed. But I have to go to bed with that every night.
One performance that stands out to me in your career was against a very experienced and crafty grappler, Yuki Sasaki, who you dominated for unanimous decision. I sometimes wondered if you did something in that fight, a safety-first, control-oriented, dominating performance, should have been a blueprint for your career going forward.
Okay, what's your question? Because this one is important to me.
Well, it seemed to me like when you fought him, you had a sort of safety first, you know, use your wrestling, control the fight, dominating performance, which maybe if you took that going forward into your career, maybe that would have been a better game plan. Or do you think that would have been a better game plan for you?
Okay, I see what you're saying. But no, Yuki Sasaki, and this is one of my favorite fights ever. He's from Japan. We fought in Helsinki. We met after the fight with a gentleman from Helsinki who introduced us and spoke to us. But I left Ohio after seeing the Ohio Athletic Commission in front of Bernie Pravato, who said, do not bring an attorney, which, how the fuck are you not going to bring an attorney? He said, don't bring an attorney. but he brought the, what the fuck is that guy's name? The general prosecutor. And I was asked to leave the room when they made a decision. Bernie Pifato is the most corrupt fuck I've ever met in my life. And I'm going to say that and scream that until the day I die. And I can't fight in Ohio for the rest of my life. But fuck him.
What happened? I don't understand.
Well, my fight with, what's that kid's name? It was Fight Night in the Flats. The one that I was accused of giving up in. And then Bernie Pifato fined me $1,500 on.
Oh, was that Weikert?
Weikert, yeah. I had to, and it was, I flew out from Cleveland after meeting with Bernie and his general commissioner, whatever his name is, lawyer, and they said I could not have a lawyer there. And then they sent me out of the room and then called me back in the room to tell me that I was fined $1,500 and suspended for a year. And then when I landed back in Ohio, Bernie said that his exact words were, I ran down to 7-Eleven, robbed 7-Eleven, and ran back home. No idea what the fuck he meant by saying that. But at the end of the day, I got a $1,500 fine. I was not allowed to have an attorney when my management company said we should show up with an attorney. But Bernie said, no, you can't have an attorney. And this is why I hate – there's nothing fair about it.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree. I could totally understand where you're coming from. Could you have appealed the decision, or?
Yeah, and in hindsight, I should have. I should have. And you can put this on record. I should have appealed the decision. But he was way wrong. He should have never told me you cannot. If you show up with an attorney, I'm going to fine you. Get the fuck out of here.
And that was the last time you fought in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm suspended forever in Ohio. Because Bernie said so. But when he fucking let, what's that guy's name?
Wes Sims?
No. Oh, that would be a good one. No, I'm going just recent. His first fight was in the UFC. The WWE wrestler.
Oh, yeah, CM Punk, yeah.
Yeah, and I called Bernie, and I said, how are you letting him fight in the UFC? And he said, Duke Rufus approved him. And I've trained with Duke Rufus. I come from Milwaukee. I said, Duke Rufus did not approve him. I said, how are you saying that? He said, I've said it. I said Duke Rufus approved him. CM Punk can fight his first fight in the UFC. I said, Bernie, if he gets hurt, if he gets killed, it's on you. And then I got nasty emails from the Ohio Athletic Commission that they might have come from Bernie. I'm not sure. I will send them to you if you want. I fucking hate that guy. He's wrong. He's not doing anything good for fighters.
Is he still on the commission there?
Yeah, he's the head commissioner.
Wow.
And he bought a BMW after UFC 68. Brand new BMW after UFC 68. Couture's comeback. When he beat up Tim Sylvia.
That's the bureaucrat.
I fucking hate that guy. And he apparently hates me because I can never fight in Ohio again.
Yeah, but you know what's odd is that even after that fight, you fought in other commissions. And usually, because
yeah.
I was suspended too by my athletic commission. I don't know how it stands now, but usually other commissions will honor that suspension. But you fought,
yeah,
you know.
If you're suspended, you're suspended. That's,
right.
Yeah, I agree. And,
yeah.
Yeah, look that up, and I will prove everything I have to say. But I fucking hate Bernie Profato. I fucking hate that guy. And he's wrong. He's not fair. He does. Fuck, just do it fair.
Right. I definitely understand because I was suspended. I was justly suspended. There's no question about it. But
I should be suspended too. I lost fucking 19 points in a row.
Yeah,
I deserve to be suspended, but not by that fucking guy. He's a prick, and he's not doing it right. And when I called him and questioned him about CM Punk, and he lied. All right, now I'm done.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about your wrestling career. It seemed like in wrestling you started out at a certain level, then experienced a series of steady breakthroughs. How did you first get started in wrestling?
Kid named Marcus Forrester. He got me involved in wrestling. He's my best friend.
My understanding is that your first season as a wrestler, you had around the 500 mark, something like 20-20. What was the first season like for you?
My freshman year, I was 20-20. And that's when Marcus and I started talking. I was 38-9. We were both 38-9 as sophomores. We were both state champions. And both had 40-1 records our senior years.
Now, you moved to Ohio around this time, right?
I moved to Ohio my junior year.
What was that like for you? I mean, you were a high school student. Was it difficult?
Yeah,
or?
It sucked. I didn't like it. My dad is my best friend right now, but I hated him at the time.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Well, you had good results on the mat, though, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were only defeated once during your senior year.
Yeah, fucking Zach Thompson. I hate that prick. He's one of my good friends right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do like him, but yeah. He wrestled. He was a NCAA runner up for Iowa State. He beat me my first match of my senior year, and he beat me in my last match ever at the 2005 World Team Trials. And, yeah, I hang my head on that. How many people can retire after World Team Trials? You're top 10 in the country when you do that.
Yeah, weren't you actually ranked very highly as a freshman going into college, something like 10th in the nation?
Third. I finished third in the nation my senior year of high school.
What sort of collegiate lifestyle did you have back then? I mean, were you a party animal? Were you more concerned with academics, or did you kind of balance athletics and academics evenly?
I sucked at academics.
Uh-huh.
I graduated high school with a 2.0. And that's for sure not bragging. And they let me into Ohio State.
And at some point, you actually apparently defeated the WWE superstar, future superstar in Bellator, heavyweight Bobby Lashley. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I posted a picture of that on Facebook not too long ago. That was in Rockport, New York.
Yeah.
I beat him. I won.
Was he a physical specimen the way people know him nowadays?
Did you see the picture?
No.
The fucker is, he's a monster. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was way bigger than me, and he was a really good wrestler. This is not what I don't think many people outside of wrestling understand. Yeah, he was really good. I beat him that day. And we're 1-1. He beat me after that. I am trying to think of what I'm not going to get when. But we're 1-1, and yeah, he. If you can go on my Facebook page, he's fucking huge. And he's a really good wrestler, and.
Yeah.
And
I interviewed him in person, and he had that day. He's huge.
And we had that day, and it was fun. And I'd love to do it again, except for we're both old.
Yeah. Now, I've read that you stopped wrestling in college because you had weight cutting issues.
Yeah, cutting the 185 pound socks.
Yeah.
I'd lose 15 pounds in 30 hours. If I was 15 pounds overweight with 30 hours to go, I felt like I was solid. I could lose that. I could get it down.
Just out of curiosity, how did you do that? How did you lose that much weight in 30 hours? I mean, I know wrestlers do. I hear stories of some guys consuming a lot of water, and I know there's different tricks because I'm sort of trying to get down to 185 too.
I sat in the sauna and went back and forth from the plastic suit to the bike.
I see.
5 minutes in, 5 minutes in the sauna, drank a ton of water, and yeah, back and forth.
And you couldn't eat anything, right?
No, I didn't eat shit. I was the most miserable human being in the world. And I'll say that I was, and I'm probably worse than most. You can call my brother Danny. He hates me to death because I suck at cutting weight. Every time I did it, he did not like me.
Now, after you actually continued coaching after you stopped wrestling, right?
Yeah. I went into coaching for 6 years, working out with Ohio State. And, yeah, there was nothing easy about that either, because I was trying to make World and Olympic teams.
Yeah. And then eventually you made the transition to MMA, where, you know, no longer wrestling, but arguably doing something even crazier, fighting in a cage and whatnot.
Yeah, that's exactly where I went.
Yeah, and I think we should take a moment to give you your props as a fighter, because, you know, you beat, you know, and you were, I think, a very notable fighter, in my opinion. You know, and I think people have forgotten about how good of a fighter you were. You know, you beat a guy who was something like 13-3 in your first fight, which almost is unheard of in professional combats. Sports, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, but my standard was higher than, he was 13-2, but who cares?
Right.
Who cares? I still lost, and yeah, my aspirations were higher, and all right, and this comes from. This comes from Rex Holman. He taught me how to win, and I didn't do it when I was supposed to. And yeah, my feelings are hurt about it, but I'm gonna get over it someday.
Yeah, you had a couple losses early on, but they seem more like the type of losses that you get from someone transitioning from a wrestling background to MMA. I mean, fights very good fighters very quickly and has a, quote, learning experience in the cage and whatnot. I mean, even though you had go ahead.
That's because I asked for those fights. I've already heard about nonsense about Joe Silva. I've never had anything. I don't have anything bad to say about Joe Silva. But when the UFC called me, I said I want Forrest Griffin or Rashad Evans, and that's that. Those were the only two fighters I would accept. And lucky me, I got my wish. I got Rashad Evans, and I'm the dickhead who got his head kicked on the moon. But you know what? I wanted to fight that fuck, and I wanted to win, and I expected to win. I lost. It happens.
Sure. But even before that, you were scheduled to fight Elvis Sinisek. And you were the presumptive favorite going into that fight. Something happened, though. Elvis ended up either dropping out for some reason or claiming the fight was never booked, which is a bizarre outcome. What happened there?
Yeah, I have no idea. That one, I do not know. And I saw it when you posted it and I clicked on your link. I have no idea. And I'll say, hey, Elvis, if you're out there, buddy. Oh, I don't want to fight you, Elvis. I'm too old. Don't want to do it. But, yeah, I have no idea. In my recollection, he backed out. But in hindsight, I don't know. Maybe I backed out? I don't know.
Yeah, he does listen to the show. So, and I don't think he fights anymore. I think he's long retired, but he's a good guy, man. I think he's doing comedy.
I think he's a great guy. Like I said, I've never fought anybody I didn't like. I don't want to.
Going back to your fight with Rashad, I actually, if I'm not mistaken, you looked very, very confident coming out. You even won round one, it looks like.
What do you mean?
What
do you mean it looks like? I for sure won round one.
Yeah.
Is that in disagreement?
No, absolutely not. Your stand-up in the first round was very, very effective.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound like a dick.
No.
That part is important to me because, as you can imagine, I get emails all the effing time of people telling me how horrible I looked and I sucked in that fight and I should have never been there. I felt like I won that round.
People talk a lot about the jumping crane kick you threw and had some fun with it, but it seemed like to freeze him, it seemed like you kind of threw him off his game a little bit.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was doing. He was approaching me quicker than I wanted to be approached. I felt like he was getting in my face. I didn't like it, so I threw a goofy kick just to make him stop getting in my face. And that was that. And Joe Rogan said it perfectly. No points for you, Sean Salem. Awesome.
You also seemed undersized for the fight. I don't know if Rashad was coming down from heavyweight, so it looked like you could have dropped down at least a division or two.
I'm going to fight with anybody who says weight plays a factor. It's what are you comfortable with? Making 205 pounds was easy for me.
Right.
Making 185 pounds was a nightmare for me. That's that. It sucked. I had to lose 15 pounds in 30. When I was cutting to 185, I had to lose 15 pounds in 30 hours. It was miserable. And I have pictures, and I feel like I looked amazing, but there was nothing easy about it.
And you took him down.
I'll share a funny story
yeah.
with you. Rashad and I talked in the nightclub. I can't think of the name of it right now. We stood in a nightclub, and everybody was taking pictures of us. And I like Rashad. After.
Okay.
It was before UFC 68. I held a pre-party. It was in Columbus.
Right.
I'm not going to think of the name of the nightclub, but yeah, we were friends and everybody was taking pictures and it was after he kicked my head to the moon.
Well, you know, in your fight, you took him down. You passed his guard almost in a way nobody else did. You did more damage to him than Tito did in two fights, it looked like. And I'm sure Rashad would even admit that.
Okay, he has no choice. It's on tape. And you brought up Tito. I like Tito. I'm fortunate enough to have worked with Tito. We had the same agent, Ken Pavia.
Yes, I know
Ken. His name. Yeah. I do like Ken. And, yeah, we had the same manager, and I got to work out with Tito a handful of times. I disagree with the way he talks and sells his fights, but I, face-to-face, man-to-man, I think he's a great guy.
Now, Rogan said on the commentary that he thought you might have had a cardio or adrenaline dump. Were those a factor at all?
No. No. That, and that has pissed me off since day one. I competed in the Olympic trials, world team trials. There was no cardio dump. And I'm sorry I got excited right there.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that was on me. No, there's no cardio dump. And I said that in my first interview with the UFC when they said, are you nervous? No, I'm not. I wasn't fucking nervous. It was just a fight. We signed up. We both agreed to the rules, and that was the way it was going to go, and it went that way. And yeah, the Olympic trials and the world team trials and my state championship were way worse. I had way more nerves going into those matches than I did a UFC fight.
And it was no surprise Rashad came out in desperation mode in the second round. When he finally landed that head kick, it looked almost as if you were trying to catch it in the way you did in the first round a couple of times, but that you just missed it, possibly due to something else. What was it like experiencing that kick? Can you describe the experience you went through, if you have any recollection of it?
No, I don't remember anything. But I will tell you, I'll give you the funny background story.
Yeah.
My brother and I were in the ambulance, and I looked at my brother, and I was whispering because I knew I couldn't say this out loud, because if I did, they would. I said, hey, Danny. He goes, yeah. I said, I got knocked out, didn't I? He goes, yeah. I said, by Rashad. He goes, yeah, Rashad kicked you in the head. I said, in the UFC? He goes, yeah. Yeah, that was in the UFC. I said, when did I sign that contract? And he started. Apparently, you didn't find it as funny as I did.
Well, I'm just trying to get an idea of, like. Good.
We both laughed. He said, I said, when did we sign that contract?
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah, that will keep that one there.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of other questions, but I don't want to take up too much time. But you've been very, very candid, and we really appreciate it as always, Sean. Can you give people at home any information regarding any websites you want them to visit, anybody could keep track of what you got going on and whatnot? Do you have any websites or sponsors or anybody you want to mention in closing here?
No. I live a beautiful life with a wonderful wife, and I don't want anybody to follow me.
Well, I wonder, how the hell do they email you? Is that just through Facebook? I mean, because you said you still get a lot of emails, like, to this day about the Rashad fight and everything.
Yeah. And that's at SeanMSalmon@gmail.com. But I'm not looking for them.
I see.
that part of my life is over. I'm not a fighter anymore. I'm not. I don't need attention. If somebody wants to talk to me, I'll for sure listen and I'll for sure respond. But yeah, right now I just want to fight Luke Shawley, and that's it.
Well, listen, Sean. Again, thanks for coming on the show and taking a trip down memory lane. We really, really appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck, man. I hope that you get your wish and fight this this individual, and I wish you all the best, man.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Sean. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
We appreciate it. Take
Bye.
Care. All right, that was Sean Salmon here on Carson's Corner. Big thanks to him. And yeah, write and let us know what you thought about the interview there, because I like the first 10 or 15 minutes. It was a little bit tense, you know, maybe because you know some of the questions we ask very very I don't want to say tough questions, but we ask questions a lot of times that you won't hear on some other podcasts that go in depth, maybe a little bit too in depth depending upon the subject matter. But we appreciate Sean for coming on the program and talking about his career and whatnot. And we could have went on for a lot more questions, but we just decided that it was definitely enough. So we got some good shows coming up for you in the near future. We got Bobby Razak, the legendary documentary maker. He's going to be on the program again, and we're working on getting maybe Guy Mesger. There's some things going on with Pancrase, and you know we're starting to put out a little bit more shows now, which is good and whatnot. If you want to follow me, you can at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, also instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA, and twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Those are my handles. You know, keep in contact with me, everything I've got going on. You can follow me, friend me, do whatever. And spread the word of the show, please. We really appreciate it. We've been around a long time. And I don't think too many places are going to give you Sean Salmon and speak to him the way that we did here and ask him the questions that we did. So we really appreciate everybody who supports us. So thank you very much again to Sean Salmon. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.